On May the 22nd, 2015, Ireland became the first country in the entire world to vote in favour of same-sex marriage in a general plebiscite. The Irish Constitution was changed in order to make it possible for men to marry men, women to marry women, and everybody will be treated equally in front of the law when it comes to marriage. Right, I am with Ken Curtin, who was the director of the campaign in Cork, Ireland, in favour of a yes vote in the referendum. And it's now 3 months, Ken, isn't it, since the referendum took place?
Absolutely, Paul. We're 3 months down the line. I don't know where the time has gone, but it's really starting to sink in with people, the enormity of what we achieved here in Ireland. I think we were almost too close to it at the time to realise how significant it was. Because even talking to friends internationally at this stage, they're almost jealous of us in one stage that they got to the way we got through the whole process, that they didn't get that, like, in particularly in America. And it was fantastic that the Supreme Court ruled there, but I think they would have loved to have gone through a campaign like we did as well. Now, I suppose, to an extent they did. But it is gigantic. And I suppose the other significant thing, the most significant thing that's happened in that 3 months is there were a number of court challenges to the result, and all those have now been thrown out. So there's no legal impediment to anymore to this actually becoming law. And in the next, I would say, some stage in the next all term, it will become the law, and sooner rather than later, we'll start seeing the first marriages happening in Ireland under this new legislation that the people voted on. The other huge thing that I'm...
Can I just chip in there for a second? I think what you're saying is that the Constitution has now been changed. That means that there is no legal impediment, no legal... That is actually legal now to get married.
Correct.
But there needs to be something done in law that has still got to be done, and that hasn't yet been done.
Basically, yeah, some enabling legislation to make that happen. Just some, it's the groundwork is done already for that. There isn't a huge amount of work involved. But that's standard practice when any referendum passes in Ireland. That's the way it always works. And obviously, you had to get those court challenges and things out of the way as well, which have now happened. You're talking in relatively short term, and that'll be done. And we'll be in a position then where forever and a day that two people in this country, regardless of whether they're male or female, can marry each other. Because that they want to commit to each other forever in a loving relationship, and that equality now exists in Ireland.
And just to go back to the court challenges for a second, those court challenges, am I right in thinking that they were challenges based upon the argument that there was something illegal, there was something unconstitutional or illegal about the way in which the referendum was conducted?
To be honest, those court challenges were based on everything and anything. As some of those listening to this point, there were some that were bordering on serious points to stuff that was pure tinfoil hat stuff, to mass conspiracies involving the government and civil society and millions, and it was almost like but today, some of the challenges were almost of a bizarre nature, almost like that aliens had forced us to vote a particular way. They were almost at that level of madness. But the courts had to listen to them, and it's everybody's right to challenge these things in a democracy. But the courts found, and the judges involved found, that there was no grounds for any of the stronger arguments, we'll say.
Now, would I be right that the victory was so resounding that it was something like 62% of those who voted were in favour, and that only one constituency in the entire country voted against. Is that about right?
You're absolutely right. And even that one constituency was very marginal. It was very close. And there was a very strong yes. There was a very strong yes vote in that constituency as well. But in general, like, and I suppose Cork is where I'm most familiar with. When you look at the tallies in Cork, every small parish, every townland, more or less, voted yes. It wasn't just the urban centres, it was urban, rural. It crossed the board. Yes was the resounding message everywhere.
So really and truly. And there was a, yeah, what was the turnout like?
The turnout, you've caught me off guard now because I don't have the figure on top of my head. It was...
Was it high, low,
it was high.
It was high.
It was high for a referendum.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't at general election level, but it definitely was a very good referendum turnout. And doing a lot to both the people on the supplementary register that we'd pushed to get on the register in the first place, due as well to a gigantic number of young people voting for the first time, and due in no small way as well to a very large amount of people coming home to vote, something we haven't seen in elections and referenda here before.
So it was an overwhelmingly positive or popular victory then?
It was both. It was a huge chunk of the population voted yes. But outside of that, it also started, it energised young people in the world of politics and the world of elections and referenda and in a way that nothing had ever done before, not in my lifetime anyway.
And look, let me just ask you about Cork in specific. So that's your home territory, if you like. What effect do you think the result of the referendum has had on local politicians? And I mean politicians who were elected to the National Parliament, to the Dáil, or even to politicians who ran in the local elections. What's your intelligence on that?
Well, I suppose it's a combination of things. Firstly, there's a whole load of individuals now that are very experienced canvassers that have a very strong interest in what's going on in current affairs and things. And the more clever politicians have realised this and are trying to tap them up ahead of forthcoming elections, getting them on board. Some of those new people are considering running themselves, and I think will make fine candidates if they do. It's interesting, there are some candidates that went above and beyond some politicians that went above and beyond during the campaign, Gerry Buttermer being one. And I think...
Gerry Buttermer is a
Fine Gael TD.
Fine Gael TD.
Who also happens to be a member of the community himself.
In Cork.
Yeah. And right. I think Gerry will benefit long term from the campaign in that I think he's found an awful lot of new supporters. But as well as that, if in a seat where, in a constituency where his seat was potentially in trouble, I think he's strengthened his position greatly because of the lead role he took in that campaign. And I think others will benefit in the same way. Now, on the flip side, I think there's a few other politicians, particularly in rural parts of Cork, who either took no part in the campaign or were very strong on the no side, who I think were shifting uncomfortably in their seats when the result came in. Because I'm certain they didn't expect a yes vote, never mind the margin of it. And they're very nervous in particular of all these young people and these new energised young voters because they're a demographic that they previously wouldn't have been targeting too much. And I think they're a little bit wary of them now, and I think they should be.
So what about the effect then on, you know, the general population, in particular young people? Do you think that this campaign, the energy that was put into it by young people, is going to be sustained for the future?
I think it is. I've seen a real change in people because of this campaign. The result was a bonus, but the transformation effect it had, both inside the community and outside the community. Like, I was talking to a girl recently who did very well in her Leaving Cert results, who'd been active in the campaign. And I said, how do you think it affected you? And she said, well, it probably cost me 30 or 40 points. But the difference in this girl from when I met her at the start of the campaign to now, the way her self-confidence, her attitude, her general demeanour has just transformed because of her involvement in the campaign, is probably one of the best things that ever happened to her. So, yes, she did... She did a good leaving anyway. She'd probably have done a better, but what she's gained from the campaign is huge. And even if bringing it closer to home, I have a daughter who's 14, who was a volunteer, helped out in little things like badge making and things and stuff like that in the campaign. And I see it's changed her as well. It's built up her confidence. She's a lot, like, in my house, you'd think she'd be exposed to politics all the time in current affairs, but she never had an interest before. But this has sparked an interest in her. And it was an issue that the young people, I suppose they found it bizarre that we were having to vote in the first place. But once
In other words, they thought that this was too ridiculous, that there shouldn't be any vote on this. It was self-obvious that everybody should be allowed to get
exactly.
married.
Exactly. But they were so engrossed. And that attention, our interest in politics and current affairs and what's happening in their country is continuing. And in some of them, I've seen already some of those people that have been energised are getting involved in other campaigns. Some are drifting into parties and some are, as I said, are considering running themselves.
And look, what about the no side, right? There were, you know, a number of prominent no campaigners. Now, I'm talking more on a national level because I'm not aware of who was strong in Cork on the no side. Now, you might be able to enlighten us on that. But I wondered, you know, what you followed this much more than I do. What's happened to the leaders of the no campaign since they lost the election referendum?
Well, I suppose, in effect, an awful lot of the leaders of the no campaign nationally would overlap with people that are very strong on things like, say, for example, abortion, even though there were people who'd be very much pro-life or would consider themselves pro-life that were in favour of marriage equality. But a huge chunk of the leadership of the No campaign in this particular, in the referendum just gone, would overlap with the leaders of the pro-life campaign should we have any future referendums on the area of amending the Eighth Amendment, which is the Irish Amendment, which basically bans abortion in this country, with the very small exception of if there's a risk, an equal risk of life to the mother. So that's where some of them gone in. Others are continuing on in the day jobs they had, same as has happened with the Yes campaigners. I'd say an awful lot of the names we heard, we'll hear plenty of again, the likes of the David Quinns or the Ronan Mullins. Others, the likes of Paddy Manning and Keith Mills, I suspect we won't be hearing as much from. But again, same as in any campaign, I'm, I suppose, a veteran of a lot of different campaigns, you tend to find in every referendum, in every campaign, it's the same faces lined up. They might change between the yes side and the no side, depending on the issue, but it's the usual suspects in this country really turn up for most campaigns.
Yeah, I was wondering what would happen to them, all right, because I think, I was wondering whether losing that referendum so decisively might have in some way, you know, deflated them, reduced their morale, made them concerned about their bigger public influence. What do you think?
I don't think so. As somebody who'd be friendly with some of the leading No campaigners, the way they'd look at it, obviously they were disappointed with the result, but they feel it was their role to represent or to put the counter argument, and they'll say, in all honesty, there were over 300,000 people voted no. Obviously there was far more voted yes, but they gave a voice and they represented those 300,000 people, which, in a population of Ireland sizes, at the end of the day, there were still, like, if there was 62% voted yes, there was over 30% voted no. So they gave a voice to that 30%, and they see that they did, as far as they're concerned, they did that effectively. And I would say it, as a yes campaigner, I might disagree with an awful lot of what they said, but in general, the no campaign did a fairly good job at particularly in national debates and TV debates, and some of the ways they went about their business, they did a good job. So I think a lot of them, or a percentage of them, and I completely disagree with their views, but in terms of how they handled themselves and how they ran the campaign, they did a lot right.
And tell me, look, a lot of people will be interested, I think, in the way in which the Roman Catholic Church has influenced and has been influenced by the referendum. Now, any thoughts on the referendum in relation to the Roman Catholic Church?
Well, I suppose I'm a practicing Catholic myself. I'm in a very small minority that regularly goes to Mass as well. The Catholic Church has no choice but to be pragmatic. And the church seems to have adopted an attitude. Look, the people have decided this is now the law. We'll continue doing our thing our way. We're not going to make a big song and dance about other people doing things their way. I think they've adopted a live and let live attitude to this. There'll be a handful within the church that will be very active again in other campaigns and things. But on this particular issue, I think they've adopted a let sleeping dogs lie and let's keep doing our own thing. There was an awful lot of idle threats made during the campaign about withdrawing, no longer signing the civil certificates and things like that. There's been not a peep about that since, and I can't see anything like that happening. They realise, as much as everybody else does, that if over 60% of the population voted yes, that means an awful lot of people that signed the census forms as being Roman Catholic voted yes. And then they don't want to alienate what are already reduced numbers that they have. There'll be people within the church will take more strong opinions than that, but the church as a body, I think, will have been taking a pragmatic approach to the whole thing.
Let me ask you one more question in relation to the referendum. The impression I have is that there were a number of people, you know, whose perspective on the referendum was that they were in favour of equality. They were campaigners for equality, a more broad and general equality than simply the issue of same-sex marriage.
Yes.
And then there has been some discussion about whether the referendum campaign has kind of strengthened a general perspective in favour of equality. What's your view?
My view is, you're dead right. There were an awful lot, myself included, that were involved in this campaign that were interested in equality in general, not just marriage equality. And there are some, but inside and outside politics, particularly in civil society, that see it now as more important than ever because we've got equality in one particular way that we need to strive for in other areas, like addressing things like homelessness, addressing things like child poverty. All these are core equality issues that need to be addressed. We're a long, long ways away from an equal society here in Ireland. We're getting there in baby steps in places. We made a huge step when we voted yes in this referendum. But there are other issues that need to be addressed, and I named two of them there, in homelessness and child poverty. And there are groups, and I think those groups are being re-energised now by their new supporters and their new members that they've gained out of this equality referendum.
Kenny, if last thing, what do you think is, or what is your big message going forward after the experience now of the referendum?
I suppose if I'm going to cheat a small bit, and I'm going to have a couple of messages. Firstly, I think we've made a big step forward, as we just said, in terms of equality, but there's an awful lot of steps still to go, and we need to make sure that we work and continue to work towards a more equal society. And the other important thing is all these young people that have been energised for the first time and interest in politics, we need to tap into them and we need to listen to them and make them a part of the process going forward. They can't be left isolated ever again.
Ken Curtin, thank you very, very much. 3 months on, great opportunity to chat about the very positive result of the Irish referendum.
Thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure as always. I thought 10 minutes was your limit.